Daniel chapter 1, looking at verses 17 through 21 of that chapter this afternoon. I'd like us to stand once again for the reading of God's Word. Daniel chapter 1, beginning at verse 17, it says there, "As for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. And the king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. And Daniel continued even unto the first year of King Cyrus." Heavenly Father, this afternoon we're thankful for thy word again, thankful again for the truthfulness of thy word, thankful for the wisdom that is found in thee that we can see evidenced here in Daniel and his three friends. And Father, we thank thee again for thy control, thy care for mankind, and in caring enough about Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians to send some witnesses, some faithful witnesses into that country by way of captivity. And Father, while Daniel and his friends probably didn't understand everything that was going on, we're thankful that they were willing to be faithful servants of thine. And that's really all that thou dost ask of us today as well. We don't understand everything that's going on, but we are asked to be faithful servants of thine that thou canst use for thy glory in the place where thou dost put us. And I pray that that would be our desire, that we would want to be a light shining for thee wherever thou dost place us, faithful to thee, and just allowing thee to be glorified in our lives. We ask this afternoon that as we look at this passage of Scripture, that thou wouldst guide us in our thoughts, help us to be able to stay alert to hear what thou wouldst have us to hear, and that thy will would be accomplished here in this place, that we would glorify thee, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The title of the message this afternoon is, "Are You Equipped by God?" It tells us here in verse 17, "As for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams." In our study of the book of Daniel, we have noted already that Daniel and his three friends were taken captive by the Babylonians in the first of three invasions that took place against Jerusalem. God brought Nebuchadnezzar to Israel and to Jerusalem to plunder the city and the temple as a judgment upon the wickedness of the Jewish people. And we have noted also that God's design in choosing Abraham was that through him all the nations of the world would be blessed. But Abraham's descendants, the Jews, rejected God's law and chose to adopt the pagan ways of the nations around them. But God was very gracious with them, and he sent them true prophets who warned and reminded them of the need to turn back to God and to follow him. But steadily over time, the nation became more wicked, even persecuting the true prophets and continuing to follow a path of destruction. God's design was still to have the other nations know him, as well as have Israel repent and know his blessing. Daniel and his three friends needed to choose whom they would serve in the land of Babylon, a pagan country. And they chose wisely. And the result was that they could be a blessing to a pagan nation, a king that was pagan, and other kings as well, as Daniel lived, as we see here, over 70 years in captivity. God granted Daniel and his three friends favor with the chief of the eunuchs. The simple diet that Daniel had requested proved to be of greater benefit to the captives than the king's diet that had been offered to idols. God's way is always right. We do not always see the immediate results as we would like to, but we can know that God's way is always right. And the first thing that we see here this afternoon is that God does equip his servants. God equips his servants. In the field of science and math, we know that God has blessed certain men in the past with understanding to discover things about God's creation that the evolutionary disciples cannot see. And we know that Daniel and his three friends chose to follow and serve the true God. If you turn your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 45, Isaiah chapter 45, verses 5 through 13, it says there, I am the Lord, there is none else, there is no God beside me, I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west, that there is none beside me, I am the Lord, and there is none else. I form the light and create darkness, I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Drop down, ye heavens, from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open, and let them bring forth salvation. And let righteousness spring up together. I, the Lord, have created it. Woe unto him that striveth with his maker. Let the potsherd strive with the potsherds of the earth. Shall the clay say to him that fashioneth it, What makest thou? Or thy work, He hath no hands. Woe unto him that saith unto his father, What begettest thou? Or to the woman, What hast thou brought forth? Thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, and his Maker, Ask me of things to come concerning my sons, and concerning the work of my hands command ye me. I have made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all their host have I commanded. I have raised him up in righteousness, and I will direct all his ways. He shall build my city, and he shall let go my captives, not for price nor reward, saith the Lord of hosts. In this passage, and we could continue reading here, but one of the things that we need to remember is that God made man to glorify him. That's why God made us. He made us to glorify him. The Bible says that God made us a little bit lower than the angels. And our purpose in being made was that we might be a glory to God. He made Adam with great wisdom. Adam was able to name the animals, and he didn't have computer programs to help him keep track of what he had named a certain animal. Adam didn't duplicate any animals. It's not like there was an elephant number one, and then he looked at the giraffe and he said, well, that's elephant number two. He didn't duplicate any names. He had a different name for every animal, and he kept it all straight. God gave man great wisdom. And then God also gave man great wisdom. God says he wanted man to have dominion over the earth, over the things that God had made. And so God provided man with the ability to take care of everything that God had made. And it wasn't until the fall of man that we see that man lost that place of dominion. In Genesis chapter 4, we read there that Cain killed his brother Abel. That's not having dominion over the earth anymore. Now that's being destructive with what God has made. But that's not the way God made him. And that also doesn't bring glory to God. That destroys the reason why God made man. God didn't make us to be destructive towards one another or even to ourselves. In Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11, Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11, it says there, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. So again, God tells us that he's worthy to receive glory and honor and power. And he's created all things, and they were created for his pleasure. So when God looks upon mankind, his design was that he would have pleasure in what he saw. The sad reality is that, again, because of our fallen nature, we don't please God. But we see in our text here that when a person believes in God, that again, God does equip that person in such a way that that person can glorify God and can please God. And that's really what God wants you and I to do as well. He wants us to glorify him and to please him. And when we are saved, God makes us individuals that can please him. We noted this morning from John chapter 1 verse 12, as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. Why does God do that? Because God wants us to shine as lights in the world in which we live. He wants us to be a blessing to others and to help others to see the benefit that there is in knowing Jesus Christ as Savior. God doesn't want people to think that Christianity is one of many options that people could choose. It might work for them, but it might not. God wants people to know that Christianity is the only way. It's the only way of blessing, and it's the only way that man ought to choose. And even here in the Old Testament, while we don't call Daniel or his three friends Christians, we call them Old Testament saints. They believed in God. The reason I personally don't call them Christians, because Christ had not come yet. So, but they believed in God, and they looked forward to the coming of the Messiah. And God used these men, gave them knowledge and skill. And as we read further on in this passage, in verse 20, that Nebuchadnezzar found them to be 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in his realm, in all his realm. You see, that's what God expects you and I to look like in our world today. God does equip us. Now, not everybody in this room here has the same IQ. Not every one of us has the same abilities as each other, as someone else does, I mean. But we do have that ability to understand things because it's given to God's people. That we can know some things that the world is scratching its head on and wondering about. But we can know some things. As I mentioned this morning, I believe it was in Sunday school, it may have been in the message, I don't remember now, but the whole Mayan calendar thing, the end of the world. Was it the end of the world this past week? Well, obviously it wasn't. But, you know, you and I that are saved, we can have a definite answer. Someone comes to us and says, you know that the world's going to end next week? Our obvious answer is, no, it's not. How do we know that? Well, because the Bible has told us that from this very moment, there's going to be 1,007 days before or 7 years, 1,007 years before the world comes to an end. We know that because there's a 7-year tribulation period, and then there's a 1,000-year millennial reign that comes before God destroys this world with fire. The Bible says that. So if someone comes to us with a suggestion that the world's going to end on such and such a date, we can give them an answer. We don't have to be wondering about that. And you see, and we don't know the exact date because God hasn't given it to us. So there's no point in us speculating. Someone asks, well, do you think the world's going to end in 2045 on June the 3rd? You know, well, we know it's not, but we don't know the day, and we don't need to know the day. And it's not an embarrassment to say, well, I don't know the exact day, but I can tell you approximately when, and it's at least 1,007 years. We can know those things. Back in 1999, if you remember back to the time when the big hype was, well, probably started before 1999, but Y2K, you probably remember that. And there was all the concern that the computers were not programmed to take the year 2000, and you know, we were just going to have major chaos because the computers couldn't handle that switchover. And so they were trying to tell you, well, you need to buy a program. You need to get your computer up to speed because the year change, it can't handle it. Well, I didn't buy no program, and year 2000 came around, and my computer worked just as well that day as it did the day before. But a lot of people in government and elsewhere spent a lot of money trying to prepare for something they weren't aware of, they didn't know, and had no way of understanding what was going to happen. Now, it is true that man knows how to design things in such a way that he can make a pretty good mess with them. They know how to do that. Man can figure things out and can make things so complicated that he can't fix them. But it's also true that God can give us understanding in the things that really matter. And the things that really matter in the case of the book of Daniel, as we're going to see as we go through this book, is that God was going to lay out for Nebuchadnezzar, a wicked pagan king, the history of the world. And Nebuchadnezzar and all of his magicians couldn't figure out what God was telling him. But Daniel could, and his three friends could, because God gave them understanding. Now, God isn't laying out any new visions today of how things are going to happen in the future, but he has given us some things that we're going to see in the book of Daniel in regard to how things are going to turn out. But God has also told us very clearly in his word that salvation is important, and that every human being is born a lost sinner and must repent of their sin and be saved through the blood of Jesus Christ. We can know that. And we can be involved in helping people and warning people and encouraging people to be saved, because we know that people need to be saved. We know that. The Bible tells us that. That's not something we need to wonder about, whether there may be some group of people out there that don't need to be saved. We know that people need to be saved. We know that a person that dies without Christ, we know that they spend an eternity in torment in the lake of fire. We know that. The Bible's clear on that. We don't have to wonder about it. It's clear. So therefore, we need to warn people and encourage people to turn from their sin to know God's peace in their hearts. It tells us here in verse 17 again, it says, "As for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning." That word learning is important. It doesn't say there that God just dumped everything on them and they didn't have to learn anything. He gave them knowledge and skill in all learning. And that's important. We read in Daniel chapter 9 that Daniel was a student of God's word. He read Jeremiah's prophecies, and he understood from reading Jeremiah's prophecies that Israel was going to be 70 years in bondage. He learned that. It wasn't something that just dropped into his head. He learned that because he was a student of God's word. And that's what God wants you and I to do. He wants us to learn things. And in particular, he wants to learn his word. Brother Cloud says in one of his DVDs that one of the things that he is concerned about when he travels around and speaks in different churches is he's concerned about the fact that not very many people are caring about learning the word of God. He said that he finds that too many people are too busy reading books of fiction, reading books of romance, and he even talks about people that waste a lot of time on professional sports, watching professional sports. And he says, in the meantime, they're not spending the time in God's word, and they're not becoming equipped in the things of God. And I believe that that's true. I believe that that's a very present danger that we face, that we find things that entertain us of more value than we do studying God's word. And the important thing for us is to study the word of God. We need to know the word of God. We need to know it for our own selves, to know how God wants us to live, to be able to understand when the devil is tempting us and how he's tempting us, to turn away from that. Rather than getting caught off guard, we need to know. And Brother Cloud is one man who has done a lot of work exposing, for instance, the emergent church movement. So we can know these things. We can understand how that movement operates and what it's all about. And we can guard against it. We have material on regarding the mysticism that is creeping into even in our fundamentalist circles. We have that Brother Cloud again has put out a warning just this past week of how that, you know, not that long ago he was warning about the CCM music that was being used so much and adapted over at Lancaster in California. And now some of their men have been promoting books that promote mysticism. So there's a gradual slipping over there in that church and in that college that is dangerous. But Brother Cloud is writing about these things so that we can know. You see, and God gives people this knowledge and the skill to learn in all learning and wisdom. And that's what we need today. And it says there, Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. So you see, again, Nebuchadnezzar, a man who thought that it was his pagan gods that had won him the victory in Israel, it was his pagan gods that had opened the gates of Jerusalem and allowed him to come in and plunder the temple. Nebuchadnezzar needed to come to understand that the true God was still in charge. And everything that was happening according to his will, because the nation of Israel had forsaken the true God. That's why the gates of Jerusalem were opened up to Nebuchadnezzar, because they had been serving pagan gods in Israel. And pagan gods defiled the temple of God, and the true God does not allow his name to be continuously muddied. He does step in and intervene that people might know him as the true God. So God does equip his servants. And he equipped these four children, it says, gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. The second thing that we see in this passage is the superior nature of God's servants. I believe that homeschooling is the way to teach our children. I've heard of people that have scoffed at homeschooling. They claim that homeschool children are social misfits and they just don't seem to know very much. And there are homeschooling parents that make those kinds of statements true because they don't understand what homeschooling is all about. But if we do homeschooling properly, I believe that homeschooling produces a much better, a smarter, more well-rounded individual than the public school system ever can. The reason is that proper homeschooling is founded upon the Word of God. And that is what is the key. The Word of God must be central in all teaching. When we were still in New Evangelical circles, we were homeschooling our children, and there were families that were opposed to that. But I remember yet one family that came to us after they had observed our children for a while, because they thought our children would be social misfits. And I said, well, why should they be social misfits? We go to church every Sunday. We go to church on for Bible study. There are other children there that our children interact with. But they came to us later and they said, well, we can see that your children aren't social misfits. They seem to be able to get along quite well, not with just young people their own age, but even with adults. Amazing, isn't it? You see, God, if we do things God's way, there's a superior nature that God can build into people's lives. Now, we still have to this day, our boys are unsaved. But that's not God's fault. And that's not the fault of homeschooling either. Everybody has to make their own choice what they're going to do with the things that they are given. But I would not go back. In fact, if I had to go back, my children would never ever see the inside of a public school system. Amen. They'd never be there. They'd put me in jail before that would ever happen. Amen. Because I have seen the years that we had our children in that system, the damage that it did. Daniel and his three friends We read here in verse 18, "Now at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar, and the king communed with them. And among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king." There was none that was like these four men. God had equipped these men to be able to stand before the king, and they were set apart by God for a special purpose. And as I mentioned already before, in verse 30 or 20, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. Go back in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 35. Exodus chapter 35. Exodus chapter 35, noting there from verse 26 through the end of verse 35, it says there, "And all the women whose heart stirred them up in wisdom spun goat's hair. And the rulers brought onyx stones and stones to be set for the ephod and for the breastplate and spice and oil for the light and for the anointing oil and for the sweet incense. The children of Israel brought a willing offering unto the Lord, every man and woman whose heart made them willing to bring all for all manner of work which the Lord had commanded to be made by the hand of Moses. And Moses said unto the children of Israel, See, the Lord hath called by name Bezaleel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And he hath filled him with the Spirit of God, in wisdom, in understanding, and in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship, and to devise curious works, to work in gold, and in silver, and in brass, and in the cutting of stones to set them, and in carving of wood, to make any manner of cunning work. He hath put in his heart that he may teach both he and Aholiab, the son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan. Them hath he filled with wisdom of heart to work all manner of work of the engraver and of the cunning workman and of the embroiderer in blue and in purple, in scarlet and in fine linen, and of the weaver, even of them that do any work, and of those that devise cunning work." Here we see that God had a design for the tabernacle. The tabernacle was to be a very beautiful looking building. And God equipped some men here, and women even, for the work that was necessary to make the tabernacle stand out among other buildings. Why was it that God wanted this building to be made in this particular way? Because the tabernacle was a picture of Jesus Christ and of heaven. You see, and God wanted to have these people have this building to be a picture of Jesus Christ. And of course, Jesus Christ is perfect. And he is far above rubies in value and in beauty. And you see, this tabernacle needed to be a picture of Jesus Christ. And it needed to be something that would be awe-inspiring in the people. Again, We still hear people today using that word awesome. I heard it a lot when we were at the funeral from other people talking about things being awesome, things on this earth. And for me, every time I hear that, it just makes me shake my head. Because there's really only one thing that's awesome, and that's God. He's awesome. He's awe-inspiring in what he has made. If you look outside and you see a sunset that just really catches your eye, that can be awesome because that comes from God. But don't tell me your car, your shoes, or your house, or anything like that is awesome. It's not. There's a big difference between something God has done and something that you and I do. And here we have that this tabernacle was to be awe-inspiring. And God equipped here some men to be able to build this tabernacle in such a way that it would meet his standard. In 1 Kings chapter 4, verses 29 to 34, it says there, "And God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much, and largeness of heart, even as the sand that is on the seashore. And Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the east country, and all the wisdom of Egypt. For he was wiser than all men, than Ethan the Ezrahite, and Heman, and Chalcol, and Darda, the sons of Mahol, and his fame was in all nations round about. And he spake 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. And he spake of trees, from the cedar tree that is in Lebanon, even unto the hyssop that springeth out of the wall. He spake also of beasts, and of fowl, and of creeping things, and of fishes. And there came of all people to hear the wisdom of Solomon, from all kings of the earth, which had heard of his wisdom." Here we see that God had equipped Solomon to be a wise king. But why was that? Was it just so that Solomon could be exalted? No, it was again that God would be exalted. That was the purpose of it. Now, the sad reality is, again, Solomon was given all this wisdom, but we find that it did not take long before Solomon began to put aside this wisdom. The Bible says that he took unto himself many foreign wives. That was not God's wisdom that led him to do that. That was against God's wisdom. The Bible tells us that a man is to have one wife. That's all. And the Bible was clear also for the nation of Israel that they were to marry within their own nation, not to go and pick a foreign wife. But Solomon rejected God's wisdom, and the result was disastrous. But when Solomon here was acting in God's wisdom, we see how that the reputation of King Solomon spread far and wide. It says there in verse 34, "And there came of all people to hear the wisdom of Solomon, for all kings of the earth which had heard of his wisdom." I believe God still today is in the business of equipping men and women with his wisdom. But why does he do that? He does that again so that people might come to know him as their God and Savior. It's not to exalt an individual to the place where we worship an individual, but it's so that we can point people to himself. That's the important thing. Over in Job chapter 28, reading there from verse 12, it says, "But where shall wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? Man knoweth not the price thereof, neither is it found in the land of living. The depth saith, it is not in me. The sea saith, it is not in me. It cannot be gotten for gold, neither shall silver be weighed for the price thereof. It cannot be valued with the gold of Ophir, with the precious onyx or the sapphire. The gold and the crystal cannot equal it, and the exchange of it shall not be for jewels of fine gold. No mention shall be made of coral or of pearls, or for the price of wisdom is above rubies. The topaz of Ethiopia shall not equal it, neither shall it be valued with pure gold. Whence then cometh wisdom? And where is the place of understanding? Seeing it is hid from the eyes of all living and kept close from the fowls of the air. Destruction and death say, we have heard the fame thereof with our ears. God understandeth the way thereof, and he knoweth the place thereof. For he looketh to the ends of the earth, and seeth under the whole heaven, to make the weight for the winds, and he weigheth the waters by measure. When he made a decree for the rain, and the way for the lightning, and the lightning of the thunder, then did he see it and declare it. He prepared it, yea, and searched it out. And unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. That's a very important passage here to consider when we think not just of secular man in our world today, but even when we think of religious individuals. One of the things that is high on the scale of many people is that we need to have our children going to college, even to a Bible college. And I'm not against people learning. But I believe that we need to understand something here. In this passage, he tells us here that man knoweth not the price thereof, neither is it found in the land of the living. And what we need to understand is what Job says here in verse 28. The fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. And I believe that that's the key that many times is missing in a lot of the learning that is done today. The fear of the Lord is not there. Nor is it departing from evil in order to get understanding. These are such important things. You cannot buy the fear of the Lord. That's something you get through salvation and through understanding what you've got been provided for in salvation and through humility. When a person comes to respect God, reverence God, and realize his holiness and the importance of following him, that's what we see in Daniel and his three friends. And Daniel and his three friends didn't pay a bunch of money to get that wisdom and that understanding. They were given it by God, because they had a heart that was able to receive it. And that heart comes from God. And that's what you and I need to make sure that we are letting God prepare our hearts, that we can be men and women who have wisdom and understanding in our lives. Psalm 90 and verse 12. Psalm 90 and verse 12. It says there, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Teach us. That's so important. You know, that's something that, as I mentioned before, you know, the year 2012 is just about to an end. This year has gone by so fast. I'm 61 years old already. I can't go back and take back any of those 61 years. They're gone. The time goes by so fast. And how we need to be taught the importance of numbering our days, that we might apply our hearts unto wisdom. We can't go back. We can't take back any of the time that's gone. But are we learning as we grow older? Are we learning the value of time? Just how precious it is and how important it is for us to spend our time applying our hearts unto wisdom. I trust that we are. Because again, God does give. He does give superior wisdom to his people. And God does want today for people in Grand Prairie and our area, he wants people to know the truth. He wants people to know him. He wants people to understand that he's not a dumb God. He knows everything. And he demonstrates that by equipping his children to behave themselves in a way that is different than what the world produces. It's different. It's unique. It only comes from God. Nebuchadnezzar had these men stand before him at the end of their training time, their time of being indoctrinated into the Babylonian culture. And he found amongst these men none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king, and in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in his realm, in all his realm. God is still looking for, and I believe today, it's the Christians who are the ones who make the difference. He doesn't need a crowd. We read here of 4 men, 4 children, it says. That's all, 4. But these 4 children, as we look at the book of Daniel, they had quite an impact on their time. Quite an impact. God doesn't need a crowd. He just needs some individuals who understand the importance of following him and fearing him properly, giving him proper reverence. And that's what God is looking for today. And that's the kind of people God wants you and I to be, so that we can be a voice of reason in the midst of a world that is so pagan. When I listen to the news or when I read it on the internet and I hear so many comments being made about global warming and climate change and everything that happens, whether it's a snowstorm or a flood, everything is global warming. Even though Al Gore and his whole philosophy have been exposed as a fraud, yet still, most people are following that junk. But you and I that are saved, we can help people to understand, 1, this world is going to end. 2, if they would turn to God and know him as their Savior, they could begin to do something productive in our world instead of wasting time on these things that mean nothing. You see, God still wants to be glorified. God still demands that he be glorified. And we can help others to turn to him and know the truth and to know God's blessing. The third thing that we read here in verse 21, it says, and Daniel continued. And so the third point is simply, Daniel continued. That's such an important statement. Daniel continued. Daniel became an old man in Babylon, but Daniel continued. It tells us here, he continued even unto the first year of King Cyrus. Now we said, when we started looking at the book of Daniel, that the time that Daniel was captured was in 605 B.C., the timeline tells us that the first year of King Cyrus was 534 B.C. That means that Daniel continued in captivity for 70 plus years. 70 plus years. He never went back to Israel, but Daniel continued. And it doesn't tell us here in this passage that Daniel languished in prison for 70 years. It tells us that Daniel continued. And there's a difference. Daniel, in those 70 years, he didn't try to figure out how could he best blend into the culture of the Babylonian society. Daniel, in those 70 years, was a blessing to kings and to people in general. Daniel was used of God to give many people the opportunity to come to know the true God. And the reason was that Daniel had a clear testimony. When it was commanded, because of the king's wicked counselors, that no one pray to anyone but the king for 30 days, why do you suppose that those men, the Bible tells us why do you suppose those men came up with that decree? And the answer is because they knew that Daniel prayed 3 times toward Jerusalem. They knew that. And so they couldn't find any fault with Daniel, so they set up this decree that no one could pray to anyone but the true God. And we know from the account what Daniel did when that decree came out. He went up into his room and he prayed toward Jerusalem 3 times a day, just as he did before. Nothing changed. It says here in verse 21, Daniel continued. Nothing changed. You see, it did not matter what the king's decree was. Daniel continued. He continued to follow God. He continued to serve God. And that's the same thing that God is looking for in you and I today. He's looking for individuals. You see, that's one of the things that you've probably observed as well in regard to the charismatic movement. It's like a roller coaster ride. They can be high up talking about how they're praising God. And next time they're down in dumps. There's nothing stable about that whole movement. But the true Christian, there's a stability there. And there's an upward movement. From the time that a person is saved, there's an upward movement as we grow in the Lord and become more Christ-like in our behavior. There's a continuing in the things of God. There's a following after the things of God. And learning from him and following his way. Daniel continued. And that's the challenge I believe that we need to take this today as well. And as we come to the end of the year 2012, that it will be said of each one of us by God. God is the author of the Bible. And that it will be said of God, by God of us, that we continued. We remain steadfast. We didn't allow the culture of our day to infect us and to cause us to become more worldly than the generation before. And I'll just give you an example here. When I was a young person, necklaces were worn by girls and women. Then when I got a little older, all of a sudden, necklaces started to be worn by men. And I don't know why that is outside of what the Bible says from 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19, or verse 9. Probably it's 2 Corinthians because 1 Corinthians, just a minute. No, that's right, yeah. 1 Corinthians 6 verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. That phrase there, effeminate, that phrase talks about men who take on female qualities. I believe a necklace is a female piece of jewelry. Doesn't belong on a man. Now, if you're a man that's a diabetic or something, you have to have it in case you collapse and the paramedics have to know what your problem is. That is one thing. But to wear that thing as a piece of jewelry, that's, I believe, is effeminate. That belongs to women. Doesn't belong to men. But you see, in our culture today, we are finding that we are not continuing with God. But we are allowing our culture to infiltrate our thinking, and we're being dictated to by our culture instead of dictating to our culture what is right. Back when I was a young person, again, long hair on men was becoming very popular. At that time, when that was happening, I was a rebel against God. and I wanted long hair. But when I got saved, over time, God showed me, just as he showed Brother Cloud, that long hair on men is wrong. Of course, the Bible's very clear on that, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. It's a shame for a man to have long hair. You see, these kinds of things, the Bible says Daniel continued. It doesn't say that Daniel became like his culture. He continued. And as we read the book of Daniel, we get the context of that continuing. He continued to follow God. He continued to serve God faithfully. He wasn't one who caved in to the culture. And because of that, Daniel could be a blessing. And I want to encourage us today that we would be individuals who would continue for the Lord. We would know what is right and what is wrong, and that we would follow what the Bible says and want to be those holy, separated individuals that God can use to be a blessing to others in our age. Because again, our world needs to know the truth. Our world is lost and going to hell. Most people are unsaved. And we that are saved, we have the privilege to help some lost individual to come to know the truth. And the way that we're going to do that is when we continue in the things that are right. When we make the Word of God our authority, because it is supposed to be that. It is the only authority there is. But we have to choose to make it our authority, that we're going to follow what the Bible says. And may God help us to do that, that we would want to continue in what the Word of God says, following that faithfully, so that we can be a blessing in the society which God has placed us, in this generation in which we live, that we can be a blessing to the people around us, that they can come to know the true God. And they can also then be a blessing to others. Let's pray together. Father, we thank thee again for thy word, and we thank thee again for this passage of scripture as we've been looking at the introduction to the book of Daniel. And we see that Daniel and his three friends were different than the men around them. And I believe that the difference is clear from thy word here, that the difference was because they had that fear of God in their hearts. They understood that there was a true God and there is a true God. And they wanted to follow thee and they wanted to glorify thee. And I pray today that thou wouldst help us here, that we would also understand that there still is a true God. That we would want to glorify thee, knowing thee as our God and Savior, we'd want to glorify thee. We'd want to be a blessing to others. I pray, Father, that thou wouldst help us, that we would not be those that would be dictated to by our culture, but that we would allow thee to give us that wisdom and that understanding, that we would stand out as being different, that we would be those that can show our world, the world around us, we can help them to see the truth, to see the need to be born again. We can point them to the truth. And as we watch what's going on in our world, that we can use some of those things that are happening to point people and show them how important it is to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. I pray, Father, that thou wouldst find in us individuals that would continue, that we would continue following thee and allow thee to do thy work in our hearts, that we would glorify thy name and serve thee faithfully. We pray again, if there's someone here that is unsaved, that they might see their need to repent and be saved today, to know thy forgiveness in their heart, that they could have thy blessing in their life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You turn your Bibles for closing number to number 18. Your hymn books, number 18. Number 18, we'll stand and sing together. Afternoon, that we can crown Thee as Lord of all. We can show by our life that we love Thee and we serve Thee, and Thou hast made us what we are in Thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray that as Thy children, we would be those that would magnify Thy name. We would exalt Thee, and we would allow Thee to show Thyself strong and to be glorified in our lives as Thou dost make us children who follow Thee and have a skill and an understanding, the ability to learn things that are important, that we can be a blessing in our day, in our society in which we live. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for coming. Lord bless.